Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and tonight we're talking DPP removals and additions, those players who we think is going to add or drop their DPP status. And as usual, to help me out with this is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Shake it off. Shake it up. Wait, god damn, she's still. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm doing good. Welcome to all the new listeners we got out there. We know there's a bunch of you. And but, Jono, I've been under the pump at work. My boss has been in Vegas for the last week, and it's...
Well, I met last Wednesday. You were basically just Shane O'Mac walking into that RSL thinking it was easy street, but welcome to the big time of being a boss, buddy.
Yeah, it's not great, although, and I'm worried that it's going to continue, that I'm just going to be left on my own because, Jono, look, first of all, you've met my boss. And
yes,
he's a big man.
He's a big unit, that's for sure.
He's about 6'3", probably about 145 kegs, could probably lift a car Mark Henry style. He's a big man. You do not want to get on the wrong side of him. But he's in Vegas with a bunch of his mates on the Terps. And if there's one thing we know about my boss, it's he likes getting on the Terps, and he likes giving his opinion.
He certainly loves to give his opinion, that's for sure.
So you're going to mix a big man, drunk, who likes giving his opinion, who you really don't want to cross. But there was an event that's happened in the last week, Jonathan, in Las Vegas. Don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Mr. Olympia contest.
Oh, no.
And apparently a lot of these bodybuilding gentlemen are staying in the hotel that my boss is also staying.
I'm getting
staying
images of the perfect storm here. I see one hurricane and another just forming here.
Now, I don't want to say that my boss can't take out eight-time Mr. Olympia Ronnie Coleman, but I've seen Ronnie Coleman wearing nothing more than a G-string in photos online, and I kind of worry about my boss's safety, so we all pray he arrives back home soon and safe because I've had enough of these 8-hour days.
Well, I must say I've been to Vegas twice, and everyone's happy drunk over there. I didn't see any fights or any aggressiveness. Even the cops, it's like, what? You're drinking on the street where you're not supposed to? Just move to the sidewalk, please, sir, and do it over there. So it's all calm over there, so
I'm just waiting for the big man to be drunkenly stumbling through the casino, sees one of these blokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll hope.
And the third leg of this team is our Tassie Mayor, the Statesman. Welcome to you, mate.
G'day, gentlemen. To be honest, my week has been filled just avoiding people that support Richmond.
That's a good plan.
Well, there wouldn't be too many left in Tassie, would they? They'd all be flying over to the G, wouldn't they?
Unfortunately, Tassie's got a very strong history and ties and links to Richmond and St Kilda before our good friends Hawthorne and North Melbourne have come to join us. And it's fair to say they've passed their poor ways to their siblings and their children. And unfortunately, they seem to be everywhere and they are rather chipper. So hopefully not so chipper this week, but then again, who wants GWS in there?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, news came out, all 100,000 tickets have been sold. Only 1,200 to the GWS supporters and members. If there's any GWS supporters listening to this show, please contact us on Twitter or Facebook. I'd love to know what you're going to be feeling after the game on Friday night. It's just going to be a Saturday afternoon because if they win, the GWS is going to be dead quiet. But it's just going to be uncanny, isn't it, if they do win?
It's going to be very odd, and I can imagine it'll be the first time a grand final feels like a preliminary final if GWS get in, because I reckon everyone else will be barracking for the other team.
That is true. But a little bit of news coming out over the week. I love this time of year. With only 3 games of football left, it is a silly season, so trade rumours are miss, and I love it. We heard Harley Balick, which this is not a rumour, has asked for a trade back to Melbourne. We heard he had a bit of homesickness earlier in the year, so Fremantle looking to get a deal done for that 20-year-old there. I haven't really heard who the suitors might be, but I'm sure a lot of teams will be putting up for a forward as talented as Harley Balick.
They missed out on Martin. They missed out on Kelly. Obviously, North Melbourne's number one target now.
That'd be pretty good with Balick and Benny Brown up in that forward line for the next 10 years.
Let's hope they have a good AI support structure.
Well, if there's anything as good as their medical team, I mean, if they can get Sean Higgins on the park for 2 years, they must be doing something right.
That is true.
But as I said, the silly season is upon us, and the rumours going around that Jake Lever is going to Melbourne and Bryce Gibbs going to the Crows. The Crows want 2 first-round draft picks, but they also want Christian Petracca from the Ds if he does... if they do trade for Jake Lever. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then I hear Carlton's getting Tom Rockcliffe and Devin Smith for basically a first-round draft pick in the next 2 years. So all the silly season is happening. But I love it. I think it's great. It's just basically watching the days of our lives, but in terms of AFL footy. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, and at Statesman 33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check out the Facebook, The Draft Doctors there. And we are on Instagram, search The Draft Doctors as well. But we are talking DPP removals and additions. And as always, Steve will be running through the forwards. I've got the defenders and Statesman going through the mid-ruck line. But Steve, fire away as to who do you think is going to be those forwards losing and gaining forward status?
All right. Well, it doesn't look great because there's a lot at the top of the tree who are going to fall off. So when we talk about this, this is a lot of what we've seen, a lot of the stats, a lot of the research. But Champion Data, whoever does the final call, tend to throw out some crazy things. And the first one was... the crazy addition from last year, which was Jack McRae. Get out of here. You ain't a forward anymore, son. Thank Christ. I don't know what you were doing in there in the first place. Just like someone who got lost. Like Donnie in the Big Lebowski getting lost, wandering into a conversation. I don't know what you're doing. I think it's fair to say Elliot Yeo, he ain't going to be a forward. He's going to be a defender. Which makes all the sense in the world. So the defense gets stronger, the strong gets stronger. Paddy Ryder, forget about it, ruck only. Isaac Heaney's going to be an interesting one. I think he's Gonski, so your boy, Statesman. What do you think about that?
No, I think he'll keep forward status. I think he's started the majority of the games in the second half of the year once they got the crew back, actually starting up forward. So I think he'll retain it.
So that's one of those interesting ones, isn't it? Because we look at the heat maps and the numbers, and it would suggest that he's one of those ones that could lose it or should lose it. But the starting positions, we don't have that sort of information unless you're watching the Swans every week, which they weren't one of my teams. But you look at the heat map and that's how it is. And another one who's in that same sort of boat is the Chad. Chad Wingard, he's going to be a real interesting one for mine. Based on the possessions, he shouldn't get it. We know he played a lot through the midfield this year. Having watched the Port games, I think he'll keep it. But I could see him losing it. I think he'd get it back pretty much straight away the next year. I know you're a big fan of the Chad. What do you think about him?
Yeah, even though the forwards haven't been my line, I've been thinking about that one a lot. And as you said, that's a line ball decision. But if you think about it, the fantasy platforms can't just gut a whole line and say that they are going to leave us with some players, you would think. And, I mean, Chad hasn't been starring like he has in the last couple of years, so I think that he stays for now.
I think he's a really interesting one, especially when you consider that there's two guys who are definitely going to come into the forward line who are his teammates. And that kind of makes it interesting, I think. And I know the Statesman will talk about them later, but I just wonder if maybe they don't have three stud forwards from the same team, if that makes sense, for the game planners.
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah, I understand that.
That's an interesting one for mine. I think, so going through the list again, Sean Higgins, gone. Well done on your best and fairest, but you're gone as a forward, so no one will care about you anymore. Jack Steele, you're out of there as well. He played inside mid for St Kilda. Unfortunately, that's not going to get it done. Here's a real interesting one, John, and I'll go back to you because he's probably one of your boys, if ever there was one of your boys. Justin Westhoff.
Look, Justin Westhoff, I honestly can see him losing that forward status, and I was tempted to put him in my defender this year because he did spend a lot of time down back, but also could get that defender midfield status because he was just free roaming and doing whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I don't think he gets forward status, but I'll be really interested to see. Going down the line, Jack Gunston, I think he gets defender forward. And here's another really interesting one, Jack Martin. Who is our Gold Coast correspondent?
That would be Statesman.
He
seems to have disappeared. He changed his role three times this year. And I know my understanding is the champion data, and this is the problem. It really depends on which format. So I've based all my thinking through Ultimate Footy. And was my understanding the champion data work on the 35% rule? So that's why when people ask, well, someone should get an Elliot Yeo midfield forward and defence, well, you can't be 35% in three positions because it takes you to 105%. So the 35% rule is there.
Are you sure? Wait, hang on, just let me...
Absolutely. So therefore, you can only be over the 35% in two positions if you're shared on three zones. Jack Martin is a classic example where he gets used as a bit player. So unless you go express through the data, like review the data for the whole season, it's really hard to guess. I think he is actually a chance to be a defender forward.
And that would make sense because what we have to use is the possession heat map. So really, we're only seeing where he wins the ball. And it's obviously easier to win the ball. Look, it's probably easier to win the ball in defense than it is forward. But it's also much, much, much easier to win the ball in the midfield. So it's going to be skewed that way. Does that make sense? And that's how you serve a role.
Absolutely, they'll always go off the starting positions too. That becomes an important part from.
Yeah, it's also easy to win that ball in that Gold Coast defence because it's always coming down there.
Well, that's kind of the thing, and you look at some of the poorer teams and the guys are constantly winning the ball in defence because that's just where you get it. Like you look at Brad Hill. He starts all the game on the wing, but he all his ball's in the defence. Anyway, so keeping going, Isaac Smith.
Well, Statesman called it at the start of the year, so.
Well, how was he in there to start with? He's just. Anyway.
Jack McRae.
Jack Sinclair, you're gone. Playing out on the wing, forget about it. You're done. Kobe Stevens, you are also done. Forget about it.
In many ways.
Now, we don't have to go down that
line. Played, 14 games, so.
Jeez, you don't see the Statesman going after blokes too often like that, Ed.
Sniper.
What has he done? What's Kobe Stevens done? Who did he take out? Did he do something to Isaac Heaney?
No.
Did he breathe on Devin Smith's knee? that's just illogical. Anyway, keeping on, I'll talk about another Statesman favourite, Lewis Taylor.
He'll keep it.
It's just another one of those ones where if you're the forward, you're winning the ball further back than maybe you should. I could see him lose it, but we'll see. Nick Graham lost it. Forget about it. When he was in the team, he was a midfielder. Brad Hill. Jono, could he get defence?
Didn't see enough of Fremantle, but it's quite possible to suggest he would.
He sure as hell loses his forward status.
He was their running back. If you want to call that, just running it out of the fence.
Look, he lined up on the wing. That was his game. He won most of his best possessions behind centre. didn't really play as a defender, but he's certainly losing forward status.
For sure.
Will Hoskin Elliott, forget about it. You are gone. Took Miller. Could you imagine drafting Took Miller as a midfielder?
Maybe it's a bench cover. That's about it.
Bench cover? Jesus, we're playing in 40-man leagues. Feel sorry for Took, but anyway. One we've got asked about, Tom Phillips. Really likely to lose it. There's no way he keeps the forward status just as an outside ball winner. Don't see any way he keeps it. If your name's Lockie and you play at Fremantle,
you're a gun.
You've lost forward status. but you have gained defender status, so well done to you.
That's
sir.
Correct.
What about Hayden Crozier?
He was already a defender.
No, but do you think he'll get forward status?
Oh, no, no.
No.
James Sicily, to me, he's going to be an interesting one. He should definitely get defender status, obviously. Does he lose the forward status? Because the switch was made halfway through the year. He did basically nothing forward. Is that going to be enough to lose it? Maybe?
50-50?
No, that's where you go to the 35% rule, and therefore I reckon it'll be defender forward.
Yeah. It just because you didn't win the ball there doesn't mean you didn't play there, which is a thing. Dan Houston, losing that forward, all the way defender. We know he got the switch mid-year in the position change leagues, which is fair enough. And also Bailey Dale losing that forward status, and he'll probably just wind up as a pure midfielder. But there was, gentlemen, there were certainly some guys I'm pretty line ball about, and I can see him swinging either way. Jono, a lot of them play for your premiership hangover club. It seems they just got lost in whatever role they were playing, and they were just wandering aimlessly between the midfield and the forward line.
Don't worry about defense.
Much like you and your car in the RSL on a Wednesday night, just wandering aimlessly.
So, yeah, at the Commodore, it's a very common car, so just trying those locks, buddy.
Didn't someone clean like half your car once, and like half of it was
what?
Yeah, this was a
while
prank.
I was on my honeymoon, it was a prank. My mate haven't washed my car in about 4 years, so my mate just buffed half the car straight up the middle. And so, yeah, one side was clean, one side's still filthy. Got some great photos.
It's like looking at Collingwood.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll run through these names, gentlemen. Luke Dalhouse, I think he keeps forward status, but see the late season switch to the role change. Mitch Wallace?
He'll stay forward.
Well, that's what I mean, but you can see these guys losing it. Tom Liberatore?
Does he get a game in the 22?
I don't know. Who's leaving? Jake Stringer? He's gone.
Crapmurray?
Bayadale to touch on. Toby McLean?
Gee, he spent a lot of time midfield this year.
But he also spent time forward early, so, I mean, he could go. Caleb Daniel?
Forward, midfield and forward.
So who knows? And the last one I had on the... Oh, I could see it losing... It's Angus Brayshaw. I know he didn't play much, but it was basically just on the wing when he did.
Not enough game time, I think, to affect his DPP status, I think.
Hmm. And these, I've just got four more names that I think will keep, but people might be worried about. And these Kane Lambert, Michael Walters, Hugh Greenwood, and Jordan DeGoey. And I think they keep it, all of them.
Yeah, I think Lambert's gone. I think most of his time was on the wing.
Yeah, I reckon you'd be surprised.
Wow.
I really think you'd be surprised when that happens. I thought that initially as well. But
maybe he's one of those who gets a mid-forward status, who knows?
No, but that's what I think. I mean, when I say forward, I mean mid-forward.
Yeah. No, fair enough. My guys here, I'm going with the defenders. I'm just going for the easy layup here. Taylor Adams, get the hell out of defence. I don't think I ever saw him go in that defensive 50 for the whole year, so he'll be a pure mid next year. One who's also going to lose it is Cale Hooker. He will be going, he spent majority of the time in that forward line as number two to Joe Danaher. I can see him losing it as well. Your thoughts on Hamish Hartlett? I was tossing up between Hamish Hartlett.
I have no thoughts on Hamish Hartlett.
Yeah, he's a defender.
Staying as a defender? Yep. You think he just goes pure defender or...
I still wouldn't pick him up as a defender, let alone a mid.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's a defender or mid. He's a defender, so that's enough.
Yeah. Your boy, Steve, Matty Broadbent.
Who? Never heard of him.
Never heard of him? Statesman.
Yeah,
who? Points per minute beast, Matthew Broadbent.
Riley Bonner.
Riley Bonner. Another interesting one.
Yeah, he'll be a defender if he doesn't retire, which, you know. It's been a great ride, Matt.
One person you didn't touch on who should lose his forward status, Steve, was Jake Carlisle. He was a forward defender this year.
Yeah, I didn't actually consider players who were fantasy irrelevant. Sorry, did I say Ryan Burton? Because Ryan Burton's losing his forward status as well.
Yeah, I've got Ryan Burton here just in case you missed it. He's going to be pure defender.
How's Jake Carlisle fantasy relevant?
His last 6 weeks were unreal, man, in Supercoach.
Well, in that fake game. He was averaging
90. Yes, in that fake game. Averaging 90 in the last five rounds. Still wouldn't play him, but...
Well, I had my average cut off at 60.
Well, he was above that, so he should have been in there.
Well, sorry. Doesn't matter. Sorry. Go That's draft right. Jake Carlisle in the seventh round. You'll be all right.
Andy McGrath, another interesting one for me. I think he still stays a pure defender next year. He was the DPP, spent a lot of halftime as a lockdown defender there on your small forwards, on your 80 bet type, so he'll be a pure defender. Bernie Vince, he'll stay a defender. He'll lose that mid status for me. Didn't get outside the defensive 50, playing as the plus one. As well, only got into the midfield once or twice. Dan Howe is an interesting one because he moved up into the midfield playing that tagging role. So he's one who could lose it, especially in that keeper, if you're in that keeper situation, certainly one who could lose it for me. Nick Robertson from the Brisbane Lions, he was defender mid, could go either way, might keep it for him. Alex Witherden, your thoughts on him as a defender mid? Do you think he stays defender or he'll go pure mid?
He's not going to go midfield. I don't understand what the difference between defender and defender midfield is.
No, do you think he loses one of those?
Oh, Christ,
the defender status to go. No. And Tippin Woody, you are not a defender. You're going pure forward next year for me as well. Just a couple of ads. You said James Sicily could be a defender forward. I agree on that. Brandon Ellis spent most of his time in the back line this year. He's pretty much a lock for defender status for me. There's been a lot of talk in the show about Connor Blakely getting that defender status. We saw him got moved into that defense late in the season before he went down. Was it you, Steve, who don't think he'll get it?
I'm pretty skeptical as to how I could see him getting it, but I'm skeptical as to think he will actually get it.
Yeah. One from the Gold Coast Suns is Pierce Hanley. He's more than likely to get defensive status. As we saw from his heats maps, it was well and truly in favour of that defensive, on the defensive map in there. You saw the Gold Coast, Statesman. What do you think about Pierce Hanley getting defender status next year?
After he burnt me a few times this year, I don't think of him at all. But he's certainly got defender status in Ultimate Footy. So I'm assuming you're probably suggesting for Supercoach, which is the only format I don't think he has that status, which I think he will pick up.
Yeah, I agree too. And interesting one was Dan Rich, the pure midfielder this year. I think also coming from that half-back line this year will get defender status for me. And, Steve, you mentioned half the Western Bulldogs team. I've got one for you. I think Lockie Hunter, he's going to lose midfield and get defender forward this next year.
I don't think he'll get forward. He'll definitely get midfield of some description. I saw an interview with Lockie Hunter, and he did mention how he played a number of roles. I think he'll just be a mid, but in a world where crazy things happen. Look, think about it this way. How many players do we mention who are going to add defense who are already fantasy relevant? A stack. Yep. My big problem is that it was just roles for Lachie Hunter. I think he'll just be a midfielder. I see what you're saying, though, and I understand, and I'm not poo-pooing it, but yeah.
And never ignore a poo-poo.
That's right.
But it could come down to, like, Alia Yo, just 30%, 30%, 35% across the line, so just what he is, what he was for that year. You mentioned Gunston before. You think he's going to get defender, and that was all for mine as well. And if you are enjoying the show, check us out. We are on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes, as well as Pod Paradise. If you love it, hit the subscribe button. The show will come to you each and every Wednesday throughout the off-season. And if you've got a few minutes, we really appreciate it if you do hit the five-star like button, leave us a review.
Yeah, seriously, we're two ratings away from 50. I mean, if we don't get to 50 before the new year, like, seriously, I'll probably just keep doing this podcast. But, you know, come on, throw us a bone. We know what our download numbers are. We know what our download numbers are like. There's more than bloody 50 of you listening.
Just go to iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever. Hit the five-star rating. Leave us under review. Really, it helps our brand, especially when we're up against the juggernaut of the Fantasy Sisters. Man, we get smashed by them.
I had a good listen to one of their podcasts too. Most words I couldn't get out, but then obviously dildo kept on being mentioned. So they obviously the German word for dildo is dildo.
I thought it would be there. Mama, you go. But there you go. Wasn't he sensational? But
the pictures of the Fantasy Sisters are quite cute.
Yeah,
don't know if that's actually them, but pretty impressive.
We should get photos of us up.
Actually look like the Fantasy Sisters, we should.
You wouldn't believe it, people, but on my Skype screen, a tumbleweed just went across it.
Sorry, mate, you're breaking up. I'll have to re...
Yeah.
But moving on to our midfield and ruck line, what have you got for a statesman?
Well, thank you very much, firstly, Jono. My role today is to go through the midfielders who are going to add either forward or defender. So thank you for stealing half my list, Jono. I do really appreciate that.
Yeah, he really went through the show doc with a fine-tooth comb there.
Firstly, I'll just quickly cover the rucks because it's quick and easy. At the moment, I can see two ruckmen who were DPP forwards who will lose it. You mentioned one before in Paddy Ryder, but I think Nankervis will also lose his DPP. I know he had a spell of 3 weeks where he had a bit of support. The problem is that's not covering to that 35%. So Nankervis, I would assume, will be a ruck only next year, gentlemen. I didn't see how much he had breaks up forward, but the majority of the time when I saw him play, it was ruck, bench, ruck, bench. So I'm assuming that both Nankervis and Ryder will lose their forward DPP. Moving on to the midfielders, and we'll talk a few. Now, I will ask a question of you, Steve. You mentioned two Port Adelaide players. Obviously, I'm going to discuss Travis Boak. I'm assuming you're referring to Supercoach, where Robbie Gray is a mid-only.
That's correct.
So, obviously, for that format, then Robbie Gray, who I would have said spent 60 to 65% of his time in the forward line this year. The only really time he went in the midfield was when Chad Widgard was out injured. So for Supercoach, he will add forward status. But Travis Boak is a fair chance to also add forward status. He spent the majority of his games there, but he also started a lot in the midfield. So that becomes a challenge when they're going through the data. And as we know, it's easy to get possessions in the midfield than it is forward. But in the second half of the season, he found a fair bit of form in that forward line role where he started getting a fair bit of touches. So I'm assuming that Travis Boak adds forward status, so that'll be right across the board. Happy with that one, gentlemen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's correct. That's the difference. I think they tried Boak in the same sort of situation last year, and it didn't click, whereas this year it actually clicked. So, yeah, for sure.
So the next one is Geelong, Sam Menegola. Now, this becomes a real challenge, and let's not get hung up on his last 3 weeks of the home and away season and the final where Paddy started deep forward, which was a great tactical move by Geelong and really knocked Sydney around. But Sam Menegola has spent almost half the season playing as a half forward. Now, although he rotates through the midfield, his majority of the time has been on the half forward flank. So unless they look at the trends from the last three rounds, so break the season up into gaps and see where trends are, if they just go on raw data and work on the 35% rule, then Sam Menegola for Ultimate Footy and every other format should be a mid forward. So that's a great benefit for those that own Sam Menegola. The challenge will be of what happened on the weekend during the final, of whether that starts to become a bit of a blueprint. In other words, start Menegola in the midfield, which he always performs well, as you know, gentlemen, a points per minute star, and then actually send Paddy Dangerfield up forward. Now, if that happens, I can see him not remaining long term. But if it works the other way, where Paddy starts in the midfield, Sam Menegola on the half forward line, and they both do rotations, then I think Sam Menegola will stay a forward for a long time.
That would be fantastic because, as you said, he's a points per minute beast. And if you've got him in a keeper, you're loving it, and he shoots up our boards in redraft leagues for sure.
Well, in redraft, I mean, let's focus on redraft for next year. I mean, if that happens, I mean, he's basically, I shouldn't say he's Jack McRae because he obviously does, we know he starts more forward and plays more forward, but he would be next year's Jack McRae in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah, no, and I understand that, yeah. And that's where the only fear I have is that last three rounds. Remember when Joel Selwood was out, injured, and Mitch Duncan was suspended for 1 week? That three-week period, Sam Menegola become a dedicated midfielder. Now, if they do break it up in segments, so you've got to remember Ultimate Footy, I think, is every 3 weeks they do reassignments of positions. So obviously then that's when they're breaking up into segments. So you could break the season into four segments and pick Sam Menegola on a standalone forward, a mid forward, and only a midfielder during those periods. So that's the only risk, because the last part of the season, which was injuries, not a reassignment of his role, actual injuries that got him into that position.
Wow. Yeah. If you want to break it down that hard, there was players who had those sort of spells that didn't get those changes. And I think
correct.
I think you'll bring up one who's a defender who we can talk about a little bit later.
Yep, not a worry. Now, next one is Liam Duggan.
Oh, there he is.
Now, breakout midfielder next year. Now, some people talk about him as possibly adding defence, but again, that was just the last little bit of the season, gentlemen. He actually started on the half-forward flank for 11 games this year. 11 games.
No.
Yes, half-forward flank, starting at half-forward. So therefore, in my mind, he's more likely to get forward status than defender status. But as I say, if it ends up being trends of what happened at the end of the season, then I can understand his claims for being a mid-defender rather than a mid-forward. As I say, can't be 35% in all three positions.
That sound you what hear he was is my heart breaking.
The end of the day, it's actually midfield might be the one that misses out for him. But ironically, midfield's where he's going to start being next year. So I can see Redden, Sheed and Duggan being the three winners out of Mitchell and Pritiscon.
Well, you didn't
hit the nail. Yeah, for sure.
So I'll be interested to see what happens. Now, I've got some that may. And I say may because this is more based on the feeling. Looking at the data, there's a chance, but I don't know if they got over that 35%. So the first one to add forward is Marcus Bontempelli.
His heat map suggested no, because he did spend a lot of time in the middle, but watching the games, he would spend up to a half of a game.
35%, gentlemen. It's harder to get possessions in the forward. And we know when they were searching, looking for the solution, because Cloak wasn't doing the job. Boyd unfortunately had some injuries and some issues to work through. And, of course, they're searching for another key forward. Bontempelli was starting in that forward line. Again, to me, it's the starting position, how long you spend there. I know the heat maps respond to where your possessions are, but if you're rotating through the midfield, gentlemen, you're going to get more touches in the guts than you are when you're forward.
Yeah, look, Ed was spending a lot of time forward. As I said before, and he actually had a lot of shots on goal too, so I think he goes back to being that mid-forward next year. I agree with you. I think he goes mid-forward next year.
Again, I'm a little bit unsure whether he got to that 35%.
Watching the Doggies, I think he did.
This is my problem, and I know he had a lot of shots on goal because we mentioned how inaccurate he was before, but there was a player this year who kicked 38 goals who was a pure midfielder. He ain't going to get forward status this year. His name's Patrick Dangerfield. There was a player a few years ago who kicked 44 goals who didn't get forward status the next year. His name is Gary Ablett.
Yeah, but they're genuine superstars.
I'm just saying, I think they hold back the absolute studs from getting forward status because it will root the game a little bit too much.
Yep, agreed.
But there was one year...
That's a good strategy. Yeah. And I will say, I'm not quite sure whether he's spent enough. And I think he's one that needs that sort of a bit more full role. Understand your point, Steve. Sorry, Johnny.
That's right. There was 1 year in Supercoach, though, where Danger was a mid-forward, lost the forward status, and then went back to being a mid-forward the following year. So,
I'm sorry, was he averaging 135 at the time?
No, he wasn't, but he was damn close.
No, he wasn't. He was always sub one. He was 120 or below. Like, I'm just saying.
He's 105s.
How's that close to 130?
Not close to 130, but I'm talking about Bontempelli score, where he's 108 this year. So
I'm just saying they generally hold back. Like, think about it this year. They're going to add Robbie Gray automatically. Are they going to add two absolute late amateur superstar studs? I really have a hard time believing it. And that's, like, you guys, like, I know there's...
Who's the two superstar studs?
Well, Robbie Gray...
We're only talking Bontempelli.
Robbie Gray would be one, and Bont would be the second. You obviously
rate Robbie Gray a little bit differently from me.
Robbie Gray is very good.
I thought you were assuming Patrick Dangerfield.
Robbie Gray is very good in Supercoach because he's effective. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, you can look at it from the football perspective, but you also have to consider the gameplay perspective as well.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and sorry, I never relate to Supercoach. I'm only talking about Ultimate.
But they're the same
here,
because they all start the same.
Yeah. Lockie Hunter is the next one. We quickly spoke about him before. Again, totally unsure of his role. But what I did see this year, he just didn't spend enough time in the midfield to be a midfield-only player. Now, that may change, but I think there's so much... I don't know how you sit there and allocate the Bulldogs players because they're just everywhere. So that's an interesting challenge. The next one that may be at a forward and only relevant if he does add forward is Will Langford.
I could see it.
Yeah. I can see it, yeah.
Sorry, actually, there was a Hawthorn player who you didn't mention, Jono, and that's Taylor Duray.
Yeah.
He will get forward status. Yeah.
He will. Yeah, you're right. So Will Langford, and this is more at the second half of the season, I think it was only the last 6 to 7 rounds, actually really found an important close-down role in the forward line for Hawthorn. But part of that close-down role, he actually started becoming quite dangerous in front of goal. And I think there was one game where he might have kicked 4 or 5 goals. So that's an interesting one. The first half of the season, when he was getting his opportunities, he was just playing bit roles, and some of that was through the midfield. So I would assume that if he does add forward, it would be as a forward mid. I've only got one more to add, gentlemen, and we've already talked about him, and that's Connor Blakely. And it's only a maybe to defence, because the bottom line is, although other formats changed him, and although we probably got quite celebrated with his role on halfback, there was only 4 games of football where he started as a halfback flanker. Now, to me, played 17 games, only 4 starting in defence. Does he get up to that 35%? Probably unlikely. And there's also this other part. I think a player has actually assumed his role in Luke Ryan. So Fremantle probably need to change up, and part of that's got to be the midfield mix. I think Connor Blakely starts in the mid, and then I don't think you'll ever see him in defence again. Although maybe he played that role so well that maybe that becomes what his task is. You have one in Luke Ryan, probably a little bit deeper, floating in and out, taking the intercept marks, and the other one being the distributor and Connor Blakely. So be interested to see what happens both at Fremantle and how each of the formats actually respond to what Connor's role is.
Yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sceptical, and I have been the whole way, just because it wasn't for those reasons that you mentioned.
I was sold on the role, but when looking back at the data, I didn't realise how short that period was.
So was it the last 4 or 5 weeks that he missed the season with the injury, wasn't it?
Yep, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't, yeah. Never know if he will get, if he would have played in the back line.
Yeah, if he didn't get injured, he probably would have continued that role and it would have been a lay-down Mazaire.
Yeah.
There was one guy I wanted to throw at you, a statement you didn't mention. I think we touched on most people, but Cam Guthrie.
Yeah, I wrote him down, but it just looked at him and went, I know you ranked 60 average. I went 85.
Fair enough. Well, you're doing mids. That's fine.
Yeah, so why wasn't the GOAT mentioned?
Who's the GOAT?
Cam Pedersen?
No, he's definitely getting forward status. He's definitely hanging on to it.
Yeah, he's...
So when you get ruck status in Supercoach? Because he got it in Ultimate.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah. Hey, no Jake Spencer. Maxi Gawn goes down. Right,
as if I'm playing the great man anywhere but my forward line. He looks so good there.
That's true. Never know, just in case.
Well,
just
hey,
in
look, case.
I've got to have that ace up.
I've got to play Nick Nat in my ruck slot next year when I draft him in like around 18.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for ruck drafting next year, that's for sure.
I think our league actually started this year to a degree, but I think the move will continue even more.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
And we'll all reap the benefits.
Absolutely.
For sure.
There's going to be some dumb person. Jeez, I really held back there. Who drafts someone in like round 3. Like, oh, I'll get Max Gawn. And then like no one drafts a ruck for 10 rounds.
Well, for Supercoach, I think he's the only standout ruckman for next year. I'm like, yeah, if you want to take a flyer on Nick Nat, but as you said, you'd probably get him in round 15 or 16.
Oh, get his non-union Mexican equivalent, Senor Spielbergo.
Is he the one who directed Football in the Groin?
No, he directed the Burns movie.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus. Did you see those Simpsons logos that the guy made?
They were good. I liked them.
Good.
Went bad.
Yeah. Hats off. Was it Troy Allen? Is that? Well done.
Yeah. Love them. All right. I think that just about wraps up the show for this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Welcome to our new listeners. Thanks for getting on board. Make sure you go back and download the old catalogue. There is some shenanigans well and truly being had in the past shows. Next week, we've got our underperformers, the guys that we drafted relatively high but burnt us along the way. So it's going to be interesting to see who you guys put up.
And can they bounce back, Jono?
And can they bounce back? Some yes, some no. Some just throw them on the junk pile and don't even worry about it. But if you are liking the show, hit us up on the Twitter where we are at the Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Hey, if you want something, you want to hear something over the off season, hit us up your idea, whatever you want. We're happy to do it. Content wise, that's fine. If you want anything else done, you will have to pay us because we are in desperate need of cash.
That's true.
We have.
Send to the Statesman.
Unless we're the Statesman. The Statesman's not, but Steve and I are.
I'm pretty sure the Statesman's just come back from competing in the Mr. Olympia as well.
Down at the Dargo Hotel.
It's a very different event. Very different.
Very different event, yeah. But we are on social media at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33 on Twitter. Check out us on Facebook at The Draft Doctors, and we are on Instagram, The Draft Doctors as well. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck to all the teams in the prelim finals, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.